It sees Darius to a point 120 steps back to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king tried to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing, so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the window opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went to the group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing? He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him.
I think sometimes when we read about people in the Bible, we can think that they were somewhat different to us. Daniel, well, he was a bit special, wasn't he? Or Paul, well, he was a bit unique. Or Elijah, well, he was very different to us. But actually, the Bible is keen to stress that these people, these men, were just like us. Just like us. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song that we've sung in Holiday Club in days gone by. God's people aren't super brave heroes. They don't have muscles from their heads to their toes. They're not gladiators. That's easy to see. In fact, it's amazing. They're just like you and me, a people that were dependent upon God to help them do the work that God had called them to do. So let's stand and sing this one through together. Good, thank you. Gareth, would you like to come up and bring the second part of the reading to us? Thank you. Speak up for those folk that are hard of hearing at the back there.
Today, still on page 891, if you've lost it. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 15. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Daniel was a very brave and wonderful witness for the Lord. What I love as I read this portion of Scripture is the way that King Darius responded, not just to Daniel's witness, but to the way that Daniel's God saved him. Daniel needed God to save him, and we all need God to save us too. We're going to stand and sing what I think is one of my favourite songs or choruses. The truth of this song is spot on. No one is good. No one is holy before God. I need someone to cleanse me. No one is pure. No one is righteous in your sight. I need someone to save me. But I'm so glad, perhaps we would insert the word Jesus there just to make it clear, but I'm so glad you died and rose again for helpless sinners like me. Let's stand and sing. Oh Lord Jesus, you are a mighty, mighty Saviour. And we needed such a Saviour because we were so lost in our sin, and no one else could save us. We thank you that you came into our world and suffered and died upon a cross in order to pay the price for our sin. It is our conviction that upon the cross you bore the penalty in full for all of our wrongdoing, all of our rebellion towards God. We thank you that you rose again, and that we as believers now are able to share in your resurrection life, and will do so forever and ever. Lord Jesus, we want to lift up your name this night and give you praise. We worship you. Amen. I'm going to begin this evening by showing you a little video clip. Please look at the video clip, and I'm going to ask you a few questions after we've watched it. It'll only be very short.
friend Mafumu. Vietti has spent the last few weeks getting to know Lionesses Ginny and Glimmer.
I am on Northwest.
Much to Kevin's relief, Vietti is no longer pining for his old friend.
Hoping more.
Having seen how his happiness has changed over the last couple of weeks, he's completely a relaxed, happy lion again. And they get along very, very well.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Licking each other. Living, which is the
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you want to be where that man is? I can see Charlotte nodding. Yes, did you say yes? You wouldn't mind being with the lions? You love animals, that's good. I can see Charlotte nodding at the back, and she's been to Zimbabwe, so she obviously likes all the animals. But I would guess that some of you wouldn't want to be where that man is. What is so fascinating about that video clip? What is so fascinating about... I find it fascinating if you don't, but what do you find fascinating about it, Joshua? Pardon? The lions. And a person being with the lions. You see, you don't usually cuddle lions or put your hand in their mouth, do you? You normally run away if you see a lion because you expect a lion to gobble you up and have you for breakfast. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at a story about a man who was thrown to the lions. Let's start, can we, with the first picture up on the screen. Now, the man dressed in white is the king, King Darius, and he rules a massive empire. He's a very, very powerful man. And he decided that he would appoint 120 satraps and 3 administrators who would be over those 120 satraps to help him to rule his great kingdom. And you can see the man on the right hand side wearing blue. He's got a red sash. That's Daniel. He was one of the administrators. He became a very powerful man. Next picture. Now, Daniel was really good at what he did. He worked really hard and he proved faithful in all that he did. In fact, he did so well that King Darius decided that he would give him the top job. He would make him ruler over everybody, apart from himself, of course. But the other administrators and satraps didn't like this idea because they didn't really like Daniel. I think they were probably jealous of Daniel. And so these men tried to think of a way in which they could get Daniel into trouble. But however hard they tried, they couldn't come up with a way of getting him into trouble, because Daniel was so trustworthy, so faithful, so honourable, so upright. But in the end, they realised that if they were going to get Daniel into trouble, then it would have to be something in connection with his God and his God's law. And so the next picture, we see them going to King Darius. And they said to Darius, make a law. Make a law so that no one can worship any god or man for 30 days except you, King Darius. Well, you can see from the picture here, can't you, that King Darius went along with this. He had this law put in writing. No one was allowed to worship any god or any man except the king. Let me ask you a question. If there was a law passed in this country that said for 30 days you could not worship any god, would you still pray to God? Would you still worship God? Would you still come along to church on a Sunday? Even if it meant being thrown into the lion's den. You see, if anyone was caught worshipping a god or a man during those 30 days, they were to be thrown in the lion's den. What do you think Daniel did when he heard about the king's new law? What do you think he did? Any thoughts? Do you think he stopped praying? Do you think he stopped worshipping God? No. Daniel continued to pray in just the same way that he always had done. We've got another picture of Daniel opening up the window towards Jerusalem and praying to God. Now, someone here this evening might say, well, why didn't Daniel just sort of pray behind closed doors so that he wouldn't get himself into trouble? You can still pray without it being a public thing. Well, he could have. But Daniel had been praying like this for a considerable amount of time. And my guess is that people had observed him praying in this way. And if Daniel stopped doing this, then it would give people the impression that he was more concerned about the king's law and what the king would do to him than what God thought or what pleased God. Well, the administrators and the satraps, they saw Daniel praying, and as you might guess, they went and told King Darius. They reminded him of the law that he had made and how he had promised to put anyone caught worshipping or praying to another god would be put or thrown into the lion's den. We'll have the next picture. Because on this next picture you can see, can't you, how the king looks. He's kind of sad. He's somewhat distressed. Because you see, he liked Daniel and he didn't want any harm to come to Daniel. And actually the king spent some time thinking about how he could get Daniel out of the whole situation. However hard he tried, he couldn't come up with a way or a plan to save Daniel's life. You see, even though he had made the law, it couldn't be changed. And so Daniel, next picture, was thrown into the lion's den. And as you can see from this picture, those lions look a little bit different from the lions that the man was playing with in the video clip at the beginning. And I'm sure the men that threw Daniel into the den were convinced that Daniel was going to be gobbled up in a matter of moments. Once Daniel had been thrown in, there was a stone that was put over the entrance to the den. And that night, the king couldn't sleep. You know, we can't sleep sometimes, can we, when we've got something on our mind? Well, the king couldn't sleep. He was so distressed about all that had happened. Early in the morning, the Bible says that the king went to the lion's den and cried out to Daniel. And if you hadn't read the story before, you might think to yourself, why on earth would the king cry out to Daniel? Daniel was surely dead. Surely he didn't expect to get an answer from Daniel. This is what the king said. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. And we read that the king was overjoyed. Daniel hadn't been killed by the lions. He was alive. Well, next picture. Next picture. The king gave orders for Daniel to be removed from the lion's den. And you know what? Not a single scratch was found on Daniel. Not a scratch. He was in good health. Well, that was good. But next we read that the king threw into the lion's den. Who do you think? Who do you think the king then threw into the lion's den? Well, it was all those who had got Daniel into trouble. The administrators and the satraps. And the Bible tells us that when they were thrown in, the lions basically ripped them to shreds and gobbled them up even before they hit the floor. I want to read to you, as I finish the story, what King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. Listen to what he wrote. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. I want to say four things briefly as we finish. Firstly, and I'm speaking to Christians initially. So if you're a Christian here this evening, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, this is for you. Like Daniel, we have enemies. We have people enemies in this world. But we also have enemies in the spiritual realm. Satan and all his fallen angels. And we can expect them to make life difficult for us in one way or another. We can expect our enemies to persecute us. To laugh at us, perhaps. To exclude us from the group, perhaps. Some Christians in other countries are even put to death because they love the Lord Jesus and want to be faithful to him. So firstly, like Daniel, we have enemies. But secondly, like Daniel, the challenge is always to remain faithful to God. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the challenges, our challenge is to go on serving God, worshipping God, being faithful to God and to His commands. Thirdly, it's better to be a part of God's family to be in His will, and to be confident that He is watching over us, and face terrible persecution, than for things to be the other way around. It really is. And fourthly, and perhaps most importantly, God will always keep us from death. God will always keep us from death. Now, someone might say, like Daniel? Well, no, not quite like Daniel. You see, the reality is that many of God's faithful saints in the past died. They were killed. And yet they never really died. Let me try to explain what I mean by reading what it says in John chapter 11 and verse 25. This is Jesus speaking to a lady called Martha. Listen carefully to what is being said. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus said to Martha. Fourthly this evening, God will always keep us as believers from death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Or to put it another way, separation from God. You see, when a Christian dies physically, they're not separated from God. Their spirit remains alive and goes to be with Jesus in heaven. Spiritually speaking, the Christian can never die. The Christian can never be separated from God or fellowship with God. And it's fellowship with God forever that equals eternal life. That's what eternal life is, according to John in chapter 17. Well, in the light of that, I want to ask any of you here this evening who might not yet be Christians, why haven't you yet put your faith or trust in the Lord Jesus? Because it makes sense to do so. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that's Jesus, so that whoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, receives Him as their Saviour, might have eternal life. The moment we believe in Jesus, eternal life becomes God's gift to us. Fellowship with God becomes God's gift to us. And nothing can change that. Not even physical death. God will always keep us from death. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. And I hope that some of you who are perhaps a bit younger might give these things some serious thought. Let's pray, shall we, together before we sing our final hymn. Lord, we thank You this evening for this lovely Old Testament story of Daniel. Many of us here have heard it so many times. Some of us have told the story on numerous occasions. And we do so love these stories. They capture our attention. And even though we've heard them before, we delight in hearing them again. Thank You, Lord, for the way in which you had enabled Daniel to make his stand in what amounted to a very difficult situation. Help us, Lord, as Christians, to make our stand at times when we do face difficulty. At times when there are those who would try to trap us, or would try to get us to turn our back upon you and compromise the things that we believe. Give us grace, as surely you gave grace to Daniel all those years ago. We thank you that you were pleased at that time to save Daniel from the lion's mouths. Lord, we know as Christians today we cannot expect you to keep us from all harm. You've not promised to keep us from physical harm, but we thank you that if we trust you, there is a sense in which we can never die, because eternal life is your great and wonderful gift to us. And Lord, we would remind ourselves this evening that fellowship with you really is the greatest, the most precious thing in the world. And to go to heaven and to be with you forever will be something that satisfies us forever and ever. It won't be boring. The difficulty perhaps that we have is getting our heads around what heaven is going to be like. So difficult to do that. We know that all the pain and difficulty that we experience in this world will be gone. Everything will be made wonderfully new. And yet our greatest joy will be to see the face of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are any here this evening who haven't yet trusted in the Saviour, we pray that you would graciously work in their lives and bring them to that point of repentance and faith. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.